next installment of the SUAS News Podcast series. I'm your host, Patrick Egan. As we always do, we're talking about news and applications relevant to the global unmanned technologies community. This is usually where we would say hello to our co-host, Gene Robinson, but he's MIA. He's probably busy today or out on a search. That happens. That's okay. So I'm flying solo. And, we'll just, I guess, launch right into it and bring on our guests. AgMaps, we have our CEO, Devin Lane, and the sales and development manager, Austin Hill. Hello, Devin.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hey, no problem. Hello, Austin.
Hello, hello from Ohio.
From Ohio. Hello. All right. Well, let's do it. Probably a lot of the listening audience may not know who you guys are. So, Devin, maybe you could give us a little bio, the high points of what you've been up to and how you got into, I guess, the small unmanned aircraft systems ecosphere thing.
Sure. So I've actually been doing drone stuff for almost 10 years now. For the first 6 years, it was with the military. So we were working with their sort of, long duration surveillance drones, trying to do image processing on that for a variety of things that I can talk about and a variety of things that I can't. lots of interesting applications there, of course, because they're always interested in where things are and what people are doing. Mm-hmm. And then once that research program kind of concluded, I moved on to the private sector, where I've been working on sort of applying the commercial drones to basically to mapping and seeing reconstruction tasks to try to figure out what stuff looks like and being able to measure things and whatnot.
Yes, and then we'll unpack some of that in a second. But Austin, same please.
Absolutely, yeah. So being a sixth generation farmer, we're always trying to find, better ways, to do things easier, faster, higher resolution. And so through that, I got a call from my brother-in-law that lived in Indiana, and he says, hey, we are trying to put together a UAS comparison test on different drones and ships in the industry. Would you be interested in doing this? And I said, absolutely. And so... So through that, I got thrown into trying to figure out, what is an ag EB and, who is SenseFly? And so through, that development, had the opportunity of meeting many people in the industry, attended the PAAS, I believe is what it was called, out in Illinois, and met a gentleman by the name of Chad Colby with Colby Ag Tech. And through that development and seeing how things started to evolve, so I've been doing that since about 2014 now.
All right. So you're kind of the, this episode is actually titled Farm Drones 2.0, and there's a reason for that, which we will also go and unpack. But you actually have farming experience, which is nice. And there's reasons for that too. We'll delve into that, but and we'll go for a little bit of history. But I want to circle back on Devin and ask Devin. So you worked on some of these systems, let's say assisting in the what I like to call the shooting overseas contingency operation. care to talk about any of the systems that you worked with?
So what we were doing is kind of a research program for precision coordinate generation. So the idea is a drone could go fly over an area, circle over, or make some kind of figure eight kind of pattern, and we could really precisely figure out, where imagery that you're seeing on your video feed, where that is in the real world. So you can, do stuff to it whatever you want.
Yeah, well, you care to tell us what the program was?
Well, it never got really fielded. That was sort of the end of it. We did the research for a while, and then we tried to get some people to adopt it as part of a program of record, and it sort of fizzled at that point. But, the end application was going to be to send a JDAM to wherever you clicked.
Yeah. Well, I worked on a project for the Navy, and we had some software that was supposed to do that. And, you know, I made myself popular again. You know, I'm very popular in the drone sphere, but, you know, I wasn't satisfied with the plus or minus on that. And, you know, and I know things that it's hard to do. There's a lot of different testing or whatever, but if you can accurately locate an object or people or something somewhere, it's a lot more useful than being off by 300 meters. But a story for another day, I guess. So you literally, like, went back and beat the swords into plowshares. Fair?
Pretty much.
Fair statement. And, you know, so that, how long did you work for in the military circles?
That was about 6.5 years.
So you learned a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was a whole, like, research program. It was sort of a cross between an engineer and a grad student. So I was doing a lot, but I was also learning a lot.
And you were getting paid a lot. No, that's a joke with the grad students. It's like, you know, it's borderline slave labor. Get cracking. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Austin, so, you know, you've been doing this farming thing, and it's kind of funny. So, you know, the farm drones is a little bit tongue-in-cheek for me because, you know, back in, I want to say it was 2013 or 2014, you know, farm drone, you know, came to life, and people were, oh, farm drones, and they're like, well, what exactly does a farm drone, what does that mean, you know? Oh, well, you know, you can go out and take photos of your farm and see what's going on, and, you know, yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, sounds good. You know, what's the value proposition for the farmer? And I did a little farm droning myself, you know, but so what do you, you know, have you in this industry, I mean, I've talked to farmers and they're like, yeah, some dude showed up with a drone. He didn't know anything about farming. And, you know, he's just wanted me to pay him for some pictures. What's been your experience?
Yeah. Like our conversation we had there the other week, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, when you go back and you look at that PAAS 2014 out there in Illinois, I mean, you know, there was all kinds of crazy technology. But, you know, the thing is, as farmers, we appreciate the technology. We appreciate the thought process. But at the end of the day, we got to have a tool, you know, that meets us right there in the field. And so in the ag market, like, the big gap has been, okay, we got a pretty image, it looks great, but what do I do with it? You know, how do I use it?
That's corn.
And
sexy,
you know,
out there in the field.
Yeah, you meet with the farmer and you show him this picture and he goes, all right, now what do I do with it? You know, and that's, you know, that has been the gap I have feel in the has seen in the industry. And so, you know, you start looking, and there's a lot of companies that's, you know, trying to do the AI version of this technology. But the truth of the matter is, in order for this drone technology to really take off, is it really has to be ground truth. And I feel that's where AgMaps really comes in.
All right. Well, you know, maybe we should talk about, you know, what AgMaps does and, you know, maybe how the company evolved. Maybe, Devin, would you like to tell us about the company and how this evolved, how you started, what was kind of the ethos behind it?
Yeah. So we started in 2019. Basically, the idea was to provide, you know, the ag industry with tools to increase scouting efficiency. So I'm a pretty impatient person. I like to do stuff now rather than stuff later. And technology was getting to that point where it was starting to be able to do stuff now. And so I thought, well, you know, what can we provide that's not, you know, uploading still photos and making maps? There's plenty of software that does that right now. It's, you know, if you want really high quality maps, you can upload still photos all day long, but you can't do it from the field. And it's not something that's useful when you're out there, you know, when you can actually do inspections and whatnot. So we wanted to create a tool that, you know, could save time, increase productivity, and we're really looking at that kind of immediate feedback loop. that the technology is now in the place to provide.
Okay. And Austin, you kind of went into why you joined up there. So before you were with the company, had a little experience with the drone thing, trying to sort all of this out. I mean, so you guys are, I mean, my thing with it has always been like, kind of look, you know, yeah, you could fly the drone around, you could take pictures, but really what I need is I need something to, you know, spot anomalies, maybe make some recommendations, cut some time out of my day as a farmer. You know, the people that I worked with doing the old farm drones deal, guy, you know, organic rice farmers. And organic, I could kind of see it because there's a niche. You know, they're like, man, you know, I got to walk the fields every day. I'm out here, you know, in the rice fields, yada, yada, yada. And it's labor intensive. I spend a lot of time doing this. So if there's something that can save me some time, and then also, you know, lessen the farm inputs and all the rest of that, blah, 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 then great. I'm down with it, you know. And you know, it's like, okay, well, that makes sense. I guess, preface this. I'm not a farmer, you know. Grew up in Northern California, a lot of ag out here. You know, my dad knew a lot of people that were into farming or were farmers, you know. And they're pretty in tune with their land, you know. So I think when people went out with Farm Drones 1.0, they were like, well, just take some pictures. Here you go. Have a nice day. Pay me, you know, $400 for these pictures. And that just, people were like, you're crazy. So, you know, where are we at today?
Yeah, so where we're at today is, so I have one slide that I've been using when I go speak at, you know, The Ohio State University for Dr. John Fulton's class. You know, I have a slide that has a picture of a 71-acre field. And with that 71-acre field, as we're looking at it, you know, in order, you know, I asked the kids, how long would it take to scout this field? And, you know, most of them are like, well, I don't know. Well, if you want to scout the whole field, you know, and not miss one square foot, I come to a calculation of it is roughly 32 miles that you would have to walk back and forth in that field in order to scout the whole field. And Patrick, you know, you and I both know there is no agronomist, farmer, crop consultant that is going to walk 32 miles to look at a 71-acre field. Agree?
I would agree with that.
So with that, you know, when we show up to the field as a farmer, crop consultant, agronomist, you know, we want to be able to maximize our time during the day. And so with that is there's always been that lag of you show up with the ship, you know, you fly the field, and now you had to go back to the office to, you know, to upload the images. Oh, well, guess what? There's some other technology out there that, you know, could do it right from the drone. However, it wasn't high enough resolution to really get in and start looking at some of that field variability. Yeah, you could look at that image quality was very equivalent to like a satellite. Well, if I'm going to get equivalent image as a satellite, then why do I need to send somebody out with a drone, right?
Right.
And so what you know, AgMaps, I feel, is doing really well is the fact that I can show up to my field, I can fly my field, you know, very quickly. And when I mean quickly, you know, that's for the most part, you know, under 10 minutes. And you have yourself a very high-resolution image. And with that, once the drone lands, you know, it's secure. Now we can take that iPad that we just flew with, and now we can start scouting and looking at that field variability and taking those notes to figure out, you know, what we have going on. So before we had a pretty image, now we're able to use that pretty image, and now we can actually do something and walk out into the field within, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Right. Well, and then that's kind of the actionable intelligence model thing. So another question I got, you know, we talked about, you know, the walk in the 30 miles plus, and nobody wants to do that. although I could probably use it. My thing is, you know, really there's a lot of talk right now. People are asking me, hey, you know, we're talking about the viability of the visual line of sight envelope. And so let me ask, I mean, you know, most of these, I guess it's crop dependent. Are we going to, like, focus on corn, or does this product work with, you know, rice, corn, wheat? What's the deal?
Yeah, so I feel that this product is very set up for, you know, for row and truck crop. And so anything that we're scouting, you know, large acres, or even, you know, I've got a 24-acre field just out here at the office, you know, that, you know, I constantly am scouting. So, Devin, what's some other areas that you feel that this fits?
Yeah, I think it's kind of targeted toward those, you know, mid-sized fields, I would guess. You know, the idea is when the price per bushel isn't super high, you don't have a lot of time and money to spend on detailed inspections. You know, if you're growing almonds or something, you can probably walk out there yourself, because, you know, you want to make sure every tree or everything is growing perfectly fine. But when you've got, you know, hundreds or even thousands of acres of wheat or corn or soybeans, you know, you don't have time to walk around all that individually. And so that's what this system is kind of designed for, you know, give you a focused kind of guidance, in the sense that you can go in, fly the drone, get some imagery, and now you know what to look for, which areas need manual inspection. You don't have to walk the side of the field where everything is growing perfectly fine. You can walk directly to the spots where there's a problem.
Well, and I think that was another thing with the farm drones concept. You know, you just mentioned the nuts. And, you know, being in Northern California, up here in Marysville, Yuba City, they used to grow. I mean, I think it's the walnut capital. And then lots of almonds up there, but the land's kind of expensive, so they went down there and grow them in the desert. But nuts are a different story. Nuts make a lot of money. And I think that was one of the pitfalls with the farm drones before is, and I think you kind of alluded to that, Austin, is a lot of these crops, there's, you know, it's not a huge profit margin in there. It's really a quantity thing. And then I think that goes back to the viability of, you know, what the drone and the software can deduce for the farmer. You know, so that was kind of where I was going to with the visual line of sight envelope. I mean, I know different crops, you know, they need different sizes or whatever. You know, out there where you are, Austin, what's like the average size, you know?
Out here, the average size field is probably right around that, you know, 40, 50 acre. You know, if you start getting fields, you know, that are, you know, 60 to 100, you know, that you think you got something big. But here, typically, you know, you're looking at about that 50 to 65 acre field.
And you can make money in that, I guess, in different crops. What are people mainly growing out there where you're at?
Yeah, right here, we're typically, you know, my part of Northwest Ohio, Central Northwest Ohio, we're typically row crop. So here's a small amount of hay, small amount of wheat, but it is typically you're going to find a corn and soybean rotation is what you're going to find here.
Mm. And is that mainly people growing corn for, let's say, feed or food or ethanol or?
Yeah, so we have on both sides of me, we have ethanol plants. Okay. There is, you know, obviously a lot of feed consumption. We have a couple chicken farms here. But even, you know, even though you're looking at, you know, feed or fuel production, you know, we still need tools to maximize every acre.
All right, but is it, you know, more money in the ethanol corn than the feed corn? Or I know I'm getting down
well,
in the weeds.
Well,
right,
a little off topic, but with that, when things go through, like we got a Budweiser brewery in Columbus. We have an ethanol plant in Lima, and then we have one over in Marion. Now, out of those three, you know, facilities, they have an output of DDGs, dried distillers grains. And a lot of times that will then go for feed as well. So whether, you know, whether it's going for fuel, its byproduct is going for feed. And so the same is, even if it doesn't go to an ethanol plant, you know, it's still going for, you know, some form of fuel as far as feed or energy.
Yeah, but these could be technically beer drones then. You know, not just
there
farm.
You go. There you go.
there's a backstory here. Okay. Well,
delivery?
This is even pre-delivery. You know, you're getting the grains to make the beer before it even gets delivered. So I like that there's like a beer supply chain drone.
Okay, there you go.
So, you know, there's all these different, and this is another thing that I don't think, you know, I mean, where, what people, the let's say, why they're growing, what they're growing, and for what end. It's, you know, it's a supply chain thing. So interesting. And then I'm sure there's different, you know, people get different prices per bushel for these different uses, whatever else. And I think it factors into to some of the story of farming that people don't really think about. You know, you think, oh, just growing corn on the cob out here. But whatever. So, you know, I'd hate to put you on the spot on what does it cost or what's the business model, but maybe, Devin, you'd like to talk about, you know, what your vision is to bring this to the farming community or how you're delivering it to the farming community.
Yeah, so what we have right now is, you know, there's a 14-day free trial, which can be, you know, extended if you're a bigger outfit and need more time to evaluate. You know, fundamentally, I don't want your money if it doesn't work for you. You know, I'd rather have a small set of happy customers than, you know, people that have been sort of hyped on this technology and it doesn't really provide value for them. I'd rather see people really using this because they see the kind of value that they want. What we charge is about $1,000 a year per pilot, and the idea there is, you know, everybody who's out there flying drones and making maps, that's something that costs me money, so I charge you for that. If you're just looking at maps or you know, you've got a team of, you know, 10 people and 5 people fly, you know, there's no need to charge you $1 million for all that stuff. It's just sort of based on your usage. And then the subscription is only required to make maps. So anything you make, any maps that you make stay, you know, on your iPad forever. I'm not going to reach in and take those from you. It's not, you know, we're not a data platform like some of the other systems where you have to keep paying in order to access the data that you've already made. I just charge you to make it.
Now that's a interesting business model. And I guess it works and with your customer base. I know that, you know, my experience with farmers has been first it's kind of a hard sell, what you're going to give me here. And then the other one, they can sniff out fakers. Austin, what's been your experience on that? Have you even got feedback from farmers that are like, you know, yeah, I've been down this road before and yada, yada.
Yeah, so just had a very interesting conversation with a crop consultant from Iowa this morning. And, you know, as we're talking about the product, he's like, you know, I think your team's onto something. He goes, you know, some of these other subscriptions that I've purchased, he's like, you know, I had to pay a whole lot of money for them. I lost my data. And he's like, you know, with your system, he goes, this is pretty easy. You just take it out, fly it, you know, it flies the field, you know, high speed. And so Devin brought me on board there the first of the year. And so, you know, the traction, the interest that I've been talking with, you know, from university level with Dr. John Fulton, you know, to growers, you know, like Herbert out in Iowa, you know, they're really starting to take interest in trying to understand more of what AgMaps has to bring.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, here's another question. So does the farmer, I mean, you know, I'm going to assume that this works with the world's largest drone manufacturer's product. Is this something that a farmer could just fly and glean all the information they need off of this, or do you still need somebody who's kind of got like an eye for agronomy or you know, what's going on?
So with this product, you know, we can do it two ways. You know, if the, you know, if the farmer, you know, doesn't really have the eye for it, you know, he can fly the field and then export it to his agronomist or crop consultant. So this, you know, kind of what Dev and I have talked about, and this is from a farmer standpoint, you know, I appreciate the thought that a lot of these companies are doing as far as AI. You know, I really think it's really neat technology. However, when you bring it to a farmer, you know, we like to see it. We like to touch it. You know, we like to rub it between our fingers. And so,
right.
You know, just because the drone may say that, oh, well, in the back 40, you know, you have a, you know, you get a high, you know, infestation of, you know,
corn weevil.
Well, yep, or weevils or anything. Well, I want to go see it. And so, even with having the AI technology, I'm still going to go back and check it out. I want to see what the infestation is. And so, you know, from a farmer standpoint, if, you know, they have ag maps, you know, or when they have ag maps, you know, you can see that field variability, and still there is nothing. And you talk with some of the leading agronomists and crop consultants with the universities, the number one tool that we have in our toolbox is ground truthing. Even though we have the data and it may tell us something, we've got to get out and ground truth it. We got to get boots in the, you know, boots on the ground, boots in the field, and really see what that image is really telling us.
Well, let me ask you another question, because this is another one that I've kind of noticed is, you know, the younger set seems to be more, you know, let's say college educated and into technology. Are you seeing any like technology, like a delineation between, let's say, the generations or age groups? Like, is it a harder sell to the older
Devin,
folks?
Go ahead and Devin, you go and speak with this and I'll follow up.
Well, you know, to echo Austin's point from earlier, some of the initial feedback I got when I was just starting out with this product was exactly that. You know, people had tried these, you know, these NDVI drones and these custom sensors and multispectral stuff and all these AI tools. And at the end of the day, you know, they're going to go out and look at it anyway. And if you're going to spend, you know, hours and hours flying these custom sensors and doing all this processing for it to make you this amazingly detailed prescription, and then you're going to throw all that away and go look at the field anyway, I thought, well, what's the point in doing that? You know, that's already saturated in the market. If that was going to be the winner, then everybody would just use that, and there would be no market for anything that I'm talking about. But mm-hmm. I see a lot of people that say, you know, look, we've been farming these fields for generations. We're going to go out and we're going to feel the crops. We're going to feel the dirt. We're going to figure out exactly what's going on here. We're going to turn the leaves and everything. We're always going to do it that way. And so I thought, well, rather than try to tell these people what their jobs are, let me just make a tool that helps them. It makes their jobs easier, and they don't have to spend a bunch of time walking around looking at, you know, corn that's completely fine.
So you're actually listening to people instead of designing your own product you think they need. You're actually relying on the feedback. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I don't claim any perfection there or anything. I'm sure I've still got plenty to learn, and Austin's helping me a ton with that because, you know, as you mentioned, he actually knows how to farm, and I do not.
So right. Well, it's
super
a skill,
important.
You know, and that's one other, you know, I hit that part or a point, and it's a little bit of I wouldn't even call it tongue in cheek. It's a little bit of a drone, but I think a lot of the people in the early days of the drone thing ran out and told people, in whatever field X, Y, this is what you need, you know? And they looked at the experts in the field. They were like, well, how do you know? Are you an I don't need that, you know, or whatever else. So
exactly.
I think that got lost on a lot of people that were developing in the early days.
Yeah. And that was exactly the feedback I got initially from a couple companies that had tried drones before and not adopted the technology because it was too much focused on, you know, prescriptions and telling them what was there rather than giving them information to allow them to make their own decisions.
Well, and I saw a lot of that too. I do know construction. That's kind of how I got into this deal. The construction drones. People are like, "Oh, look, you can use them on the construction." It's the same deal. I mean, I could go out there in the truck, look out the window, and go, "We got this problem, that problem. Hey, I'm paying for renting tractors that aren't out here. Where'd my material go? Oh, somebody shorted me a wheelbarrow of sand when they dropped that off. I want my dollar back. Whatever." What the pain points are, I could see them right out the window. So if you're going to do something that is going to, I'm going to pay for this product, man, better figure all that stuff out for me. So I don't, when I go out there, I already know what I'm looking for or whatever. And I really think that was a big stumbling point. And I think there was a little bit of Silicon Valley hubris or bravado where people thought they were smarter than everybody else. And that blew up right in their face. But
yeah, Patrick.
Austin,
I mean, if you look back in the history of, and I'm just talking, 10 years, the development of apps on the iPad for agriculture, is what has allowed us to advance as farmers to where we're at today. Because 10 years ago, we didn't really have that iPad in our hands. And we didn't have the data resolution that we have today. I mean, we're to the point now to where we have fields that may be, 30 acres, which is very small. But we are now farming 30 acres like there might be 3, 4, and 5 different fields because of the different management zones that we have in that 30-acre field. And so with the technology we have, from the planters, the data feedback that we're getting and recording, when you take that planting data and you marry it with the drone data, it really starts bringing, the field variability, to full circle. And so when I start working with farmers and crop consultants that are, forward thinking and they are using the other data in front of them, they're really starting to bring to light a lot of different field variabilities that even though their dad's dad may have farmed it for 3 or 4 generations before them and thought they knew, what the field was like, when we start, marrying, the planting data with the drone data, these 5th generation, 6th generation farmers are starting to find different zones, management zones in the field. And with the drone data, they are starting to then farm that field differently because with the drone data, it gives us that much higher resolution that we can ever achieve right now with satellites for in-season, in-season scouting.
All right. Well, I want to hit on one other thing, and you mentioned that too. There's farmers are getting other data from other sources, besides just the satellite. There is data coming in from different streams, and I think that this was another thing too that the farm droners missed out on. A lot of them, I don't know. You've probably seen the sign. For warning you about tractors where you got the farmer on the old tractor with either the pipe or that, wheat stalk hanging out of his mouth and that straw hat. And this naive, let's say, understanding of farmers and thinking they're farming like they were in the 50s or whatever. And that's just not the case, right? I mean, a lot of these, I generically call them tractors or whatever, are collecting data, harvesters and whatnot. True?
That is absolutely correct. I mean, when you talk about the farmer with the straw in their mouth, I mean, the thing is today, if you start looking at the modern farmer today, they have a 4-year degree. A lot of them are starting to have master's degrees.
Right.
And then every day, like for me, it's continued to be a student as a farmer. COVID-19 that we've had here in the past year and everything going virtual, the amount of data and webinars and information that's at our fingertips, you know, every day I'm trying to sign up for, you know, different podcasts or, you know, different webinars, just trying to learn something new, because of the amount of data that we have, you know, coming in. You know, we still have to understand some of the different soil conditions, you know, with the Clean Air Act, with all the cool plants, you know, we don't have that sulfur anymore. And so we're starting to see a lot of sulfur deficiencies in our crops. And so it's just every, you know, every day, you know, as farmers, you know, we have to, you know, be up on, you know, what's new in water quality, you know, what's new in planter technology, you know, what's the codes coming down the pipeline as far as nutrient management. And so it's just understanding all these different rules and regulations, and at the same time doing what we can with the markets and our inputs to strive and be profitable. But at the end of the day, you know, our focus, and you talk with many people in my farming circle, you know, we're investing in the technology because we want to do the best that we can for this industry so that we can continue to be sustainable for future generations.
That's good. And the other one on there is, you know, what do I think there's like 7 billion people or something on the planet, you know, gotta, you know, wring more crops out of what you got to feed a, you know, a hungry world. I don't see that slowing down. So that's interesting. And, you know, again, this is one of those deals where you get into something like this and you talk to the experts and you know, I learn something every week I learn. And, you know, I didn't really think about that. You know, there's a cause and effect for everything. And this cause and effect has, like, the trickle down to other industries and in farming, like you're saying, with the sulfur and whatever else, and then clean water. I mean, everybody loves clean water. And I know that, you know, runoff from nitrogen and whatever else causes problems downstream and yada, yada, yada. But trying to manage all of that, it sounds like a daunting challenge.
Yeah, and so, you know, on our farm here, I typically try to get, you know, three to four flights, you know, and my flights typically consist of, I like to fly at the very beginning, you know, right there about February, March, April, right before we start planting. I then like to fly right after I planted. And then we'll fly right there as everything starts emerging and you start getting about knee-high corn, you know, and you start getting about the V2 on the soybean, which when you're getting V2 on soybean, it's only about 3 inches or so. And then I will fly again right there during the summer as you start getting what I call canopy closure. So, you know, as the rows start coming together, you know, the beans bush out, the leaves start coming into the row on corn. And then I like to fly right there, you know, right there before harvest, you know, to see what we have going on. And then I like to fly right after harvest when everything is taken off to get that picture. And so, you know, when you start looking at, you know, 3, 4, 5 flights, you know, you need something that can cover that very promptly, very fast to collect that data.
Devin, are you like picking up all of this new knowledge, like your knee-high corn and V2 size?
Yeah,
soybeans.
Pretty much. I'm sitting over here just taking notes and trying to remember all these terms. And yeah, absolutely. Now I'm getting a very fast schooling in agriculture and agronomy and all that, and I still don't know hardly anything. I mean, a student who's been in a real class for a week would know more than I would, so lots to learn.
Well, it's good that, you know, you hired an SME, because that's another thing. I think that the drone industry has always been, well, not always, but there's been, I'd say, a void of actual subject matter experts. But you know, so I could see, like, I can almost imagine you, Austin, in the field talking to some farmer, you know, yeah, the corn, you got your knee-high corn, and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, you guys are talking farm. Right. God, there
right.
We go. Well, you know, no, the corn. This is the corn, man. I don't know.
This is definitely a big part of it. I mean, if you imagine me trying to go out there and explain this to farmers, I'd be talking about the technology aspects, and they would say, we don't care. How does
yeah,
this
right.
help me find my field, you know?
Or it'd be like talking to Charlie
that's,
Brown.
That's really awesome. It's going to be a huge help in that.
Well, you know,
talking to Charlie Brown.
Yeah, you know that. Wah, wah, wah. You know, that's where I'd be at. But, yeah, so, and, you know, you can, and like I said, a lot of these guys that are experts in the field, and no pun intended here, you know, they can spot who knows what in about, you know, 5 seconds. So it's handy. And, you know, even here, like I said, we're learning a lot. I learned a lot on every one of these podcasts. And that's why I like to have experts on, you know. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but before we, you know, because we're getting down. I mean, it happens quick, man. We're already at like 4 minutes left to the program. So, you know, before we get down to the end and it's rushed, what's the website address where listeners can go for more information?
So we're at agmaps.us. That's agmaps.us. And we've got videos and sample imagery, how-to guides, whole bunch of stuff to get you started there. And then on that website is an email address where you can contact us and we can tell you anything you want to know.
All right. I like that. Now, you know, let's, you know, I want to ask what this technology and the future holds for the world's second oldest profession.
Yeah. So, you know, what the future comes and what, you know, what Dev and I are working on is, you know, we want to, this product here, we would absolutely enjoy farmer, you know, other farmer input. You know, contact us there at support@agmaps.us. And really, we want, you know, Devin's been working with me and involving this product, you know, as I give him input and I receive input. But, you know, some of the things, you know, that we, you know, that we're looking at is to be able to fly it, you know, unconnect that iPad from the controller, take that iPad out, you know, and start taking, you know, pictures of the field variability that we see right there at the ground level. You know, be able to drop that pin, add that attachment. So we're really looking at that full toolbox of having, you know, a very, you know, optimal scouting tool for the farmer, agronomist, or crop consultant.
All right, and so the other, you know, thing that I glean out of that is everyone, you guys are open to suggestions and improvements instead of just saying, oh, this is the product we're building here and you take it or leave it. There's room for improvement and you guys are open to hearing about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the main goal here is to create a useful tool, right? And so a tool has to evolve from two ends. You know, one, as the technology improves, we need to support newer and better stuff. I mean, some of the newer drones have thermal capability, for example, so we support that if that becomes a useful sort of input for your scouting. And then also from, you know, sort of the requirement side, people actually using this, you know, saying, hey, I want to integrate this with a certain workflow that I do in a certain way. Can you make something happen? And you know, with software, we definitely can make it happen. It's just a matter of, you know, how long does it take and how well can we make it work?
Yeah, right, so right. Patrick, to bring it simple, you know, full circle here, you know, if the farmer wants to go out tomorrow, you know, take a look at the website. Typically, we're looking, you know, right now at that Mavic, you know, the Mavic 2 line, you know, the Mavic Zoom, you know, the Thermal, and then the Mavic 2 Pro. So basically, you need a drone, you need a compatible iPad, and you need AgMaps. So those are the three things that you need, and we'll have you flying in no time.
Well, it sounds like a simple combo, and the technology is available to all. But, well, again, you know, I want to thank you guys for coming on. We're down here to the nubs, as it were, and it was very enlightening. And as I said, I learned something, and I always appreciate that. So until next time. Thanks, you guys, for being on, and everybody else, we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks
for having us.
All right. Bye-bye.
Cheers.